So if you remember yesterday, we had a question in the Gemara. One of the Talmidim suggested that he has a zechus through which he could exonerate the accused. But unfortunately, after that, he was unable to communicate. He became mute and dumb. So what would be the halacha in that case? So initially, the Gemara rejected the whole question because what do you mean? Maybe there's somebody at the other end of the world who's got a tzad zechus. So the Gemara says, no, I don't have to be concerned for that because, as we explained yesterday, there's no leida sasofik. We have no reason to suspect that is the case. But in the case of the Talmid, he has said quite clearly that he's got a zechus. We're not just inventing a chashash. There was a leida sasofik. Now we have no way, unfortunately, of clarifying it because he's unable to communicate. So that's the question. Do we have to now reconsider the case or not? Yes.
Quick question, crazy question. What if somebody comes out and says, I know for sure this didn't happen, and I'm ready to tell you, and then he gets hit by a car and he dies. So now you have this thing hanging over your head where there was this guy who's a reputable guy who was willing to swear that this guy was innocent, and now he died.
So again, if it's one of the Talmidim, that's Mamash Al Shaila. That's exactly Al Shaila. One of the Talmidim, one of the Dayonim, he says, I can get him off the hook. And now he's unable to prove it. He's, like you said, he was either passed away or became mute. So says the Gemara, Toshma, Do'omar, Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, Echod min HaTalmidim, Shezika, Umeis. One of the Talmidim was Mezakeh. What does that mean? He was Mezakeh. He claimed that he could get him off the hook, but then he died. Royin oisoi. Now, what does it mean, zikah? How do you translate the word zikah? Remember, we're talking about a case where all he did was he claimed that he's got a zechus, but he didn't express what it was. Whereas if you say shezika, zika is a different question. Zika doesn't just mean he says that he's got a zechus, he actually expressed it as well. So if the Braiser says, Echad min ha-talmidim shezika one of the Talmidim was actually mezakeh umeis, and he then died. So in that case, the halacha is royin oisoi ki'ilu chai. We treat as if Ki'ilu, he was alive. V'oimid b'mkoimo, and therefore we've got to consider it, even though we can't go with it, but we can't ignore it, and we've got to now call up another Talmid in his place. With the implication being that it's only because he actually was mezakeh him, says the Gemara, Zika en loy, Zika loy. So surely we can be medayik from here. But the only reason why he's got to be replaced is because he was actually mezakehim. But had he not been mezakehim, rather he would have just said, I have a zechus, then the implication seems to be that I would not have considered it because at the end of the day, he never expressed it. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a proof. Zika pshitali. All the Braiser is saying is, yes, if he was mezakeh, then indeed it's poshut that having expressed his opinion, we can't ignore it. But Omar, if he merely said he's got a zechus, but he wasn't actually mezakehim, then tiboyeloch, I've still got a question. So the fact that the Braiser mentioned one case and not the other, it doesn't mean to exclude the other case. It just means in one case, the halacha is straightforward. When indeed he was actually mezakehim, well, that can't be ignored. But if he was not mezakehim, rather it was just a case of Omar, where he said that I could be mezakehim, well, that remains a question. And if that remains a question, it's unresolved, says Rashi. Shezika shehoitzi dvarov v'tamoi. He actually expressed his words and the reason, la'oir, came to light. So he didn't just say that I've got something to express, he actually expressed it. But if he didn't, and he merely said, I would like to be mezakeh, but never expressed it, then tiboy elcha. Then we've still got a question. Mi omar, do we say that only ziko dafka? We can only put the case on hold when he was actually mezakeh. Oy dilma, no. Maybe the reason why Rabbi Yossi in his brisa spoke about ziko was just that's the normal case. Oy dilma Rabbi Yossi urcha de milsa ka'oma. Rabbi Yossi is just telling you a normal case. It's quite feasible, I guess, that somebody can express his opinion and then pass away. But to become completely mute or dumb is a very rare case. She'ein derech, it's not a normal thing, the Talmud loima, for a Talmud to say that yesh li lelamed zechus, and then umishtatik, and all of a sudden he became mute, or v'chein misa, or he died. The mistama, because in all likeliness, having expressed that he's got something to say, miyad omar Rabbi Yossi, mistama, as soon as he says that I've got something to say, I would presume that he would have jolly well said it. So to say, no, in that very split second he dropped dead or became mute, well, that's quite an unlikely scenario. So that's why Rabbi Yossi didn't discuss it. But if indeed, in theory, it would have happened, maybe, just maybe, maybe he holds at Nami Hachi, but the sin would be the same. So the fact that Rabbi Yossi and the Braisa didn't talk about this case is not a proof. The reason why I didn't speak about this case is because it's a very rare case. Why is it a rare case? Because in all likeliness, when a Talmud wants to express his opinion, he'll go and do so to say that no, the Talmud stood up, I'd like to express opinion, and at that moment had a heart attack. Okay, I guess it could happen. But it's so unlikely that Rabbi Yossi didn't talk about it in the Braisa. What's a more likely case? That he actually did express his opinion, and after that he died at any time, 5 minutes later, 10 minutes later, half an hour later, 2 hours later. But to say that he died at that very instant second, having just announced that he's got something to say, is quite a far-fetched case. So he didn't speak about it. But the fact he didn't speak about it doesn't in any way tell us what his opinion would be on that subject. And therefore, the Gemara has left it unresolved. So we do not know the halacha. Okay, we now begin the final piece of Gemara in the lead up to the Mishnah. Afilu hu. The Mishnah said that anybody can express a tzad zechus even after the guilty verdict has been announced and he's been marched out for the stoning. It's not too late. We have the horse waiting. We have the banners waiting. It could all be stopped. If anybody says, one moment, I have a tzad zechus. And the Mishnah said, even the accused himself can also offer a tzad zechus. Now, if you remember, the Mishnah did, however, stipulate that's only if yesh mamish bidvorov. Only if there indeed is some substance to what he's saying. Otherwise, every time they try to kill him, they'll say, no, I've got something to say. Really? They bring him back to Bezin? No, only joking. Okay, they take him out again. They're just about to stone him. Oh, I've got something to say. Really? No, only joking. So there's got to be some substance to what he's saying. The Gemara will define what exactly that means. But if there is some substance, then we'll bring him back again and again. The Mishnah says even five times. 4 or 5 times. So look now at the Gemara. Says the Gemara, Afilu hu, even he himself can now express a zechus on his own behalf. Says the Gemara, Afilu pam rishoino ushnia. You're telling me that yes, on the one hand, we'll allow him to put up a defense on his own behalf, but only if there's mamish bidvarov. Only if there's some type of substance to what he's saying, some types of basis, rather than just, a stab in the dark. I think I've got something to say. Asks the Gemara, Va'afilu pam rishoino v'shnia? When we stipulate that there has to be some substance to what he's saying, Does that even mean the first time or the second time, or only the fourth and the fifth time when it seems to be it's becoming a joke? Vahotanya, surely we have learned in a braisa. Pam rishoino v'shniyo. The first couple of times when they take him out to be stoned. Bein sheyesh mamish bidvarov. Bein she'ein mamish bidvarov. Machzirin, I say. The braisa says quite clearly that the first couple of times, we don't really investigate much, we'll bring him back. Of course, once we get to Bezin, of course, then we have to investigate. We're not going to exempt him, but we'll put it on hold. So he's about to be stoned, and he says, I've got a defense. Okay, we march him back. They look into it. There was nothing to talk about. They take him back to be stoned. He says, I've got a defense. They bring him back. So the first couple of times, I guess, before any type of chazaka has been established, so then we don't even look into it. We just put the whole case on hold, and we bring him back. Mikan ve'elech, from there on. What does it mean from there on? From the third time onwards, then and only then, im yesh mamish bidvarov machzirin oisei, ein mamish bidvarov, ein machzirin oisei. So the Braisa clearly tells us that the stipulation of the Mishnah that we will only return him im yesh mamish bedvarov, that only applies mipam shlishis ve'elech. But the pam rishoino v'shniya, bein sheyesh bo mamish bedvarov, bein she'ein bo mamish bedvarov, I'll always bring him back. Whereas our Mishnah did not differentiate. Our Mishnah says, I'll bring him back time and time again, providing there's mamish bidvarov. The Mishnah did not differentiate between the first couple of times and after that. So, Omar of Papa, we're going to have to say that's what the Mishnah means. Omar of Papa, Targuma, you're going to have to translate Mipam Shnia Ve'elach. Yes, that's what it means in the Mishnah as well. Enochanami, the first couple of times I'll bring him back, whatever happens. But after that, it depends on whether Yesh Mamish Bidvarov. Okay, so the Mishnah makes sense. Now the question is, what exactly does that mean, Yesh Mamish Bidvarov? After all, who are the ones stoning him? Presumably, not the Dayanim, not Talmidei Chachamim, just regular people. So these regular people, quote unquote, they're surely not qualified to assess whether that's called mamish bidvarov or ein mamish bidvarov. They're not dayanim. They don't know what constitutes a good claim or not a good claim. So they're about to stone him, and suddenly he yells, one second, I've got a claim. One second, is there mamish bidvarov? Let's hear what you have to say. Well, they wouldn't know anyway. Says the Gemara, mino yodi. How do they know? Look at Rashi. Mino yodi im yesh mamish oilav. How do they know whether there's substance to his words or not? V'chi shluchim. Are these shluchim, these messengers of Bezdin, are they talmidim? Bo'inon. Do we need talmidim, meaning talmidei chachamim? Sheyu soiklin, we've got to stone? No. Who are the ones carrying out the stoning? Some Shliach Bezdin. He's the employed worker of the Bezdin. His job is to kill people. His job is not to be a Talmud Chacham or to be a Dayan. So how can he possibly be expected to make an assessment of whether this is Mamish or Ein Mamish Bidvarov? He has no idea. He's not a Dayan. He's not a Talmud Chacham. Says the Gemara, Omar Abaya. Demosrin on lay, because we actually hand him Zuga Durabonon. He's accompanied by a pair of Talmidei Chachamim. You're right. The Shluchei Bezdin, they themselves do not know. They're unqualified. Their job is to carry out the death sentence on behalf of the Bezdin. That is their entire qualification. However, look at Rashi. De Masrinon Le Mipam Shnia Veilech. from the second time onwards, or the third time, he's after the second time. Remember, the first couple of times, we don't need Talmidei Chachamim. Why not? Because we return in whatever happens. I don't need to make that assessment of, is there Mamish Bidvarov or not Mamish Bidvarov? But from the third time onwards, where I need to make a decision, is this considered some type of reasonable claim or not? So who's going to make that decision? These Talmidei Chachamim, they won't paskin the Shaila. But at least they'll decide, does this warrant bringing back the accused to Beis Din, says Rashi. Demosrin ole mipam shnia ve'elech. Shnei Talmidei Chachamim leilech imoy, to go with him. So again, he says, I've got a zechus. They ask no questions, they bring him back to Beis Din. Beis Din reconsider the case. No, nothing to talk about. They take him out once again to be stoned. I've got a zechus. They bring him back. Okay, twice they've seen that he's had no substance to his claim. Now the third time, if he claims, I've got a zechus. Well, it was from this time that he was accompanied by two Talmidei Chachamim, and they will say, we will decide whether there's Mamish Bidvarov or ain't Mamish Bidvarov. If there's Mamish Bidvarov, well then indeed, we'll bring you back and we'll let Beis Din decide. But if ain't Mamish Bidvarov, then I'm sorry, you've already proven that you're just, what's the expression? Come what it is now. But Al-Kaponim, you've proven that you're just hoping for the best. You don't really have any substance to your claim. That's been the story twice, and therefore, third time also, we're not going to bring you back. Now, what's the obvious question? So why can't we do that the first time round as well? Says the Gemara, the Gemara's question. Ask the Gemara. Again, demosrin on lei zuga drabonon. We will hand him a pair of drabonon. I ike mamish bidvarov, en. And he loy. If there's mamish bidvarov, okay, then these Talmidei Chachamim will decide that it's got to be recalled. If not, then not. Ask the Gemara. V'limsar lei meikara. So I could have saved a lot of time and hassle by doing this first time round as well. When we dispatched him to be stoned first time round, why didn't we immediately have him accompanied by two Talmidei Chachamim? And they would immediately have decided, one second, has he got any substance to his claim? We'll bring him back. If not, then not. Why did we only introduce the Talmidei Chachamim after the second time? Which meant that the first two times, he was just trying his best. Says the Gemara, V'limsar lei meikara. Why didn't we hand him the Talmidei Chachamim right from the outset? Look at Rashi. Meikara b'tchilas halichasam. Right from the very first time that he went. From then already, surely we could have sent him Talmidei Chachamim v'lo yachziru, and then we would not have had to return him afilu pam rishona, even first time. Elohim kein yesh mamash bidvarov. So we could have ascertained, even first time, is there or isn't there some type of substance to what he's saying, instead of bringing him back for nothing. And it turns out, I remember the expression now, but the Americans know the expression crying wolf. Yes. So he's crying wolf. He's trying his best. Yeah, maybe. It turns out it was just a fake. So we could have avoided all that. Dispatched two Talmidei Chachamim first time round. They'll make an assessment if there's Mamish Bidvarov. If there is, great. And if not, then not. Answers the Gemara, no. Agav de Bois. What does the Bois mean? Because he is so afraid. The first time and the second time, he's so afraid, he's so overwhelmed at the prospect of being killed, so he cannot collect his thoughts properly. Loi motzi omar, he is unable to say kol ma de isle, everything that he might have to say. So it wouldn't help to send two Talmidei Chachamim. Why? They've dragged him out. They're about to stone him. He's quivering and shaking and petrified, frightened for his life. So he just says, I've got a zechus. Okay. we please interrogate you now. Let's see if there's mamish bedvar. He can't compose his thoughts. So therefore we bring him back. First time, second time. But by the third time, when he's already become now a little bit used to this, so by now we presume that if you've really got something to say, you'd be able to collect your thoughts. And now the Talmid HaChomim will investigate. Do you have mamish bedvarov? We'll bring you back. And if not, then we won't. Yes, Larry.
The issue that I'm struggling with is that even in the first case where he's nervous and uptight and he can't, he's going to have to explain himself anyhow when he gets back to Beis Din.
At least
so
got
it's
five
not like
minutes.
he's off the hook, huh?
Yeah, but then he's got 5 minutes to collect his thoughts. They're going to bring him all the way
I
back to
see.
Beis Din, half an hour drive. But over here, we're going to say, okay, listen, we're about to stone you in 5 seconds' time unless you can come up with a good claim now. He's too overwhelmed. Okay.
And you're saying that on the third time he's already had two opportunities to gather his thoughts.
Right.
By this time he knows exactly what he would say if he was going to get himself off.
Correct. And if he doesn't have any substance, then it really proves that he's got nothing. It's not just a matter of being scared, he really had nothing all along. Okay, Raboisa, we're gonna press pause over here. We're not ending the shir, but we're not going to continue. We're going to go back and do a bit of chazara. Now, I just want to plan a little bit for the rest of the week. Tomorrow, I have a bris in Yerushalayim. My wife's youngest brother is a Mr. Shem making a bris, and I have to be in Yerushalayim at 9 o'clock. I have to leave her at about 8, so we will not be able to learn on Tuesday tomorrow.
Shir at 6:30, no?
6:30, wearing my pajamas. But Wednesday, you're not fast, but Wednesday, in all likeliness, I think there will be shir in the end. My chavrusa, Bernard Bloch, whom I just finished learning with it before the shir, his grandson is having a bris. So yesterday he told me the bris is at 9 o'clock in the morning, but now he just tells me he thinks it's more likely to be lunchtime. So Bli Neda, I'll send out an email on Tuesday evening, but there should, all being well, Be'ezus Hashem Yisbarach, be a shir on Wednesday, but there will not be tomorrow. So in the meanwhile, let's go back a little bit and do Chazara. This was requested and encouraged by Nachum, 100% right. Very important always to do Chazara. So we began this Zman on Daf Mem, Aleph, Amud, Beis. About 10 lines from the bottom, a bit more than 10 lines. Remember the whole Kiddush Levana sugya. Echad Oimer. So if you remember,
you're going back to the other parak, right?
Yes, the end of the last parak, which is where we began this man, Mem Aleph on the base. It's about 15 lines or so from the bottom. First word on the line, Omrinon. So if you remember, the Mishnah said that we can sometimes allow for a small discrepancy. So if one of the Eidim said it was the fourth of the Chodesh and the other one said it was the fifth of the Chodesh, we'll let that through. Why will we let that through? Because it could well be that nobody's lying. Rather, he just was unaware that the last month was or wasn't a leap month. By the way, this week is a classic case in point. Why is this week a classic case in point? Because we're coming now to the end of Cheshvan, and unlike other months, Cheshvan can sometimes be 29 days and sometimes 30. All other months are fixed. They're either 29 or 30 every single year, but Cheshvan varies. So this year, for example, Cheshvan, in fact, has 30 days, so they're going to be 2 days Rosh Chodesh on Sunday and Monday. So a person could easily be excused for not knowing that. Now, it's not quite a fair comparison because now our Luach is fixed. What the Gemara obviously means is, before the Luach was fixed, and it was dependent on Kiddush HaChodesh, so the word needed to be spread, or the Edom have come, or they've made a leap month, or they haven't made a leap month, so until that message reached everywhere, it could take time. So therefore, if in the beginning of the month, one thought it was the fifth of the month, and one thought it was the sixth, we can allow that. The question is, how long can we allow that for? So let's have a look at the Gemara. Echad Oimer Ad Kamo. How long? Well, even 25 days in the month, we can still say he's living a mistake for 3 weeks. Omar of Achaba, Chanina, Omar of Asi, Omar of Yechanan, Ad Ruboy Shel Chodesh, until the Roiv. We presume that by the time the halfway point of the month has come up, by then surely you would have heard whether last week month was a leap month or not. Omarova afana namitanina. Yes, we have also learned the similar case. I can prove it because it says echod oimer beshloisha veechod oimer behei eduson betelo. It says if there were 2 days out, 1 day out, we can accept. But if there were 2 days out, if one says it was the third of the month, and one says it was the fifth of the month, then the Eidos is bottle. Now the question is, why is it bottle? Maybe he made a mistake in two successive months. Every month he's 1 day out of whack. Says the Gemara Bama, I name a Shazer Yoidea b'shnei Iburin, v'zeh Ein Yoidea b'shnei Iburin. Maybe he went through an entire month not realizing his mistake. And then the next month he made a mistake again, so you could well be 2 days out. Why are we saying the Eidos is bottle? Surely that proves Elo Lav Mishum de Baruba Yoda. That surely proves by the time you get to the rave of the month, then people know. So there's no such thing as a 2 day mistake, because by the time you got to the 16th of the month, by then he would have known his mistake and he would have corrected it. Says the Gemara, no, it's not a proof. Maybe I could still claim that rave of the month people do not necessarily know. But over Shipura Yoda, remember on Rosh Chodesh they blew the shofar. Now you can miss the shofar on Rosh Chodesh, but to say that you missed it twice, that's unlikely. So Bechad Shipura, if it's one case of the shofar, Omar Detoy, he made a mistake, he was in bed that day, he overslept, he didn't hear the shofar blowing. But betray Shipuri, but for the him to miss the shofar blowing twice, Loyoma Detoy, then I'm not going to say that a person made a mistake. So you cannot bring a proof from over here that it all depends on the rove of the Chodesh. It could just depend on the entire month. Can you or can't you miss the shofar blowing? The answer is once can happen, but twice is totally unlikely. Says the Gemara of Omar Bacha Barachanina, Omar Basi, Omar Bichnan, Ad Kamo, Mevorchin ala Chodesh. Now we're moving to a different topic. If we're talking about how many days into the month do you know about the Ibur? So how long into the month can you do Kiddush HaChodesh? Says the Gemara, Ad shetismale pagimosa, until the blemish has become filled out. When is that? The Kamo Omer Yehuda, Rabbi Idi Omer Yehuda, Ad shiva nardoi Omer Ad shisha osa. Some say it's until the seventh of the month. What happens at the seventh of the month? The moon is no longer banana-shaped, but rather it is at least the halfway point. Masha Enkein, according to Nardoi, it's got to be at Shisha Asa. At Shisha Asa, the 16th day of the month, that's when the moon is completely full. We, by the way, as everybody well knows, we pass in that second opinion that you could say Kiddush HaChodesh until when the moon is totally full, which is approximately the halfway point, the 15th or the 16th of the month. Says the Gemara on the top line, V'tarvayu. Both of these opinions, whether you hold the 7th of the month or the 15th, Rabbi Yochanan Svirale. They both hold of Rabbi Yochanan that it all depends on the pagima, the blemish of the month being fulfilled. The question is only, what is the definition of that? It's just a question is the definition of the blemish being filled once it becomes full-shaped or once it becomes less than the half size of the moon? Why don't we make a bracha on the moon? We know any goodness showered upon the world. You make that bracha. Hatoiv Ameitiv and Dino Emes are always two halves of one coin. So when there's bad news, you say Dino Emes. Good news, Hatoiv Ameitiv. So when the moon begins to diminish, do we make Dino Emes? No, we don't. Well, if that's the case, when the moon begins to appear and grow, we don't say Hatoiv Ameitiv either. With the obvious question being, okay, well, why indeed not? Ask the Gemara, V'liv Rechino V'tarvayhu. So why indeed do we not make both of those brachas? When the moon starts getting small, which is bad news for us, we should say Dino MS. And when it starts growing again, we should say Atev Ametiv. You're right. I accept you can't have one without the other, but why nothing? Maybe we should have both. Says the Gemara, Kivan dahainu urche lo mevarchinan. Because it's the norm, you don't make a bracha. You only make a bracha on something which is abnormal. Abnormal doesn't mean it doesn't happen, but it's not a regular thing. So if somebody, Rachmana Litzlan, passes away, even though that's not an abnormal thing, but it's not a regular thing, so then you say Dino Emes. By the way, the halacha is that if somebody passes away and they leave a large inheritance for the inheritors, then indeed they make two brachas. They say Dayan or Emes on the passing away, and Ateva Metim on the Yerusha. But again, both of those events are either bad news or good news, but they're not regular events. Says the Gemara, as opposed to Kiddush HaChodesh, which is a regular event, happens every single month, and therefore there is no bracha either of Adayin or Emes or Bateva Metiv. Says the Gemara, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Kol Hamavarech Al HaChodesh, tremendous chidushim with regard to Kiddush Levana Bizmanoi, Ki'ilu Mekabul Pnei Shechina. It's considered that great. It's as if you are receiving the Shechina. Ksiv Ha'acha HaChodesh Hazeh, says the word Hazeh with regard to the Chodesh. V'ksiv Ha'asam Zeh Keli Banveu, Ki'ilu, they're pointing to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So every time you're makabel pnei levana, you are in fact ki'ilu being makabel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If you remember, we pointed out last time that the Mefarshim explained that essentially Kiddush Levana is not a bracha only on the moon. It's on all celestial bodies, on the sun and all the planets and the stars. The reason why they're all masakin it on the moon is because there is a particular event that triggers the bracha. The sun is there every day. A very similar example will be Asher Yotzah. We think, mistakenly, that Asher Yotzah is a thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that particular bodily function. It's not true. If you look carefully at the Nusach of the Bracha, Nakavim, Nakavim, Chalulim, Chalulim, Rashi says clearly it's referring to all the chambers and the holes, the heart, the lungs, everything. So why do we make a Bracha the whole time? Because the heart is there the whole time. There's no particular event that we could point to that should trigger the bracha. When a person goes to the bathroom and exercises a particular bodily function, okay, so that particular maisa can trigger the bracha. Once you're making a bracha, now you make a bracha on everything. So too with Kiddush Levana as well. The Kiddush Levana is going on all celestial bodies, but when the moon appears, and so now there's a particular event that could trigger the bracha, now Chazal said, this is the time to make a bracha on everything as well. Okay, we're going to put it on a hold now for the moment. But as Hashem has mentioned, Wednesday morning we will continue. If there's any change, I'll let you know. Blineda either way.